Hello and welcome to episode number 16 of Hardwick Sound. That's right. This is the first time we get to use our real official name. So it's exciting. My name is Caleb and I am your host. And joining me here in the dump is my older brother, Noah.
Hello.
And my mother, Miss Carla.
Hello there.
And joining us all the way from Birmingham, Alabama is Seth. Hey, say hey, Seth.
Hey, can you hear me well?
Yep, sure can. Hey,
this
is a very cool episode because this is the first time we've ever had someone like, you know, in our family call in. So,
hi, Seth. Mommy's missing you.
Hi, Mama. I'm missing you too.
So, we'll get to exactly why Seth has been in Birmingham in just a second. Actually, I guess some people may already know because we mentioned it in the last episode, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I think so.
But before we do that, let's just ask, hey, what y'all been doing? Noah, what's up with you?
I've been trying to figure out how to get a call from Birmingham.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
It's surprisingly harder than I anticipated.
It's not as easy as it sounds, actually. Their cell service in Birmingham is just so darn bad. Yeah, well, okay, maybe that's not why. But
it could just be the cell service in Haskell's that bad.
Yeah, yeah.
That's more likely.
Yeah, what about you, Ms. Carla? What you been doing?
Oh, just normal stuff. Laundry, dishes, just stuff.
Yep. Yeah, I can confirm that. All right, let's get to the more interesting stuff. Seth, what have you been doing?
I have been building with Lego, buying Lego, setting up Lego, winning Lego.
That's what you do when you're here.
Yeah, that's about it.
He's just been doing it in a different location than normal.
Talking to lots of people about Lego.
Has there been a big crowd turnout for this Lego conference thingy, Bob, that you're at?
Yes, I think so, for sure.
Where are you right now? Just describe what you see.
Right now, I'm sitting right behind my Legos here on a table. It's kind of a circle table here to make like an O that all the city and train stuff is put together. And I'm watching people go by.
Has anybody asked for your autograph?
No, unfortunately not.
Oh, that's a shame.
Hey, Seth, why did you keep saying Lego instead of Legos?
Because Legos, plural, is actually Lego bricks. Lego with an S on the end of it is incorrect.
And you're trying to be correct because you're at the official Lego... What do you call this thing?
A Lego convention.
A Lego convention.
Yeah.
The name of this one is Brick Fair, Alabama.
Are you wearing a Lego shirt?
I am. I am wearing the 1980-something-or-another space dude shirt in blue.
Cool. That's exactly what I pictured you wearing, so gotcha.
I have another question.
Yeah.
Are people staring at you because you're sitting there talking to yourself?
You know, I haven't really looked up much, but probably yes.
You probably look like you're talking on your phone. That's not unusual.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'll
talking
someone.
On your phone these days is kind of weird.
That is kind of weird. Yeah. Yeah. Does anybody talk on their phone?
I don't think you've ever talked on your phone before.
Not really.
Do I sound and look weird because I'm talking to no one?
Well, if you're talking to no one, that's a little strange.
Do you think I sound weird because I'm talking to no one? Yes? Okay.
I was assuming you were on the phone, but...
Yeah,
you're just crazy.
I am recording a podcast.
Oh,
with
okay.
my brothers.
Hello.
Oh,
hi.
Go ahead.
Yes, I'm talking to Jonathan, a fellow Lego enthusiast and train builder.
Howdy.
Hi, Jonathan.
Hi, I'm Caleb.
He probably can't hear.
He can't hear you. No, I'm on headphones.
Oh,
you need
to. You're on speaker.
I imagine he's a nice guy.
Jonathan's a nice guy. Yeah.
Hey, Seth, you need to get a sign that says on air, you know, and put it in front of you and light it up like back in the old radio days.
Sure.
Hey, speaking of Legos, Caleb, that sounds like something you've been doing.
Really?
Oh, you mean I've been let going?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let go, Lego.
It was funny because we were on the Let Go app and we were trying to figure out how to use it. And, you know, it's kind of like Craigslist, but it's an app. And we were trying to sell stuff. But it was funny when we were looking last night on the most expensive things in our area on Letgo. And what were some of them?
I was going to say, I bet you Seth can't guess the most expensive item.
Lego?
No, no, it wasn't. It was $1 million.
But what was it? I don't even remember.
The car.
Nope. It was a DVD player.
Oh, yeah. It was a million-dollar DVD player, and it's somewhere in Arkansas.
Yeah, but there was like a half a million that was just a blank screen. There wasn't
anything.
Yeah,
there was one that was like 70, or let's see, 7,000, no, $750,000 black screen with no description.
Yeah.
But you could buy it if you wanted it.
I think the surprising number was that there were a lot of people that had stuff listed for $23,456.
Yeah, a lot of people did that.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I get it.
But it kind of worked. I mean, we sorted it by price and we saw it. So obviously it kind of worked.
So what was the most weird thing you saw on LetGo when you were scrolling through it yesterday?
I thought it was weird when people were like trying to sell toothpaste and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, toilet paper. Who gets on, gets on their app on their phone and says, today I'm going to find some, toothpaste. It's just so weird. Why would anybody do that?
I have no idea.
Anything else you'd like to tell us about your adventure so far in Birmingham? What, have you been eating well?
We ate at a barbecue place on Thursday night. That place was really, really good. I tell you the name, but I can't remember. The best part of that was the cheesy biscuit rolls. They were really good.
Get the recipe, and I'll make you some.
They were almost like a muffin.
Cheese, biscuits, and rolls. Didn't sound that hard.
Last night, on a Friday night, we went and ate at a burger place. I had chicken. It wasn't super impressive.
Me and Mama went and had David's hamburger.
Thursday,
yep. And sure enough, I sat down and I spilled my water all over myself.
And the floor, and the table.
That was kind of embarrassing. And it was kind of cold. But boy, it was a good hamburger. So yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah, the hamburger at David's is probably better than the one here.
Man, yeah, David's hamburger is always good. I don't know how they do it. And the thing I always think is weird about David's is, like, I feel like the service there is better than at a normal restaurant, and yet I assume you don't tip there.
I've never seen anybody tip.
Yeah. So
didn't we leave a tip the time that they brought me ice cream on my birthday?
I think we might have that day.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's kind of like, wow, the service here was really good, but I don't think I'm expected to tip. What do I do?
It's kind of like Chick-fil-A service almost.
Yeah, you know, kind of. That's something interesting about, like, in Europe, you know, they don't tip. You only tip at a restaurant in Europe unless your service really actually was really good. Otherwise, it's just considered weird.
Or American.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is weird.
I bet waiters in Europe love it when Americans come into the restaurant. They're like, oh, yeah, they're going to tip me. Yeah.
What kind of an accent was
probably
that?
It was a generic European. Generic European accent.
Said it kind of Transylvanian.
Transylvanian, isn't it? I'm a Transylvania waiter. Oh, can I get that for you? Can I get the refill for you? And can I suck your blood? Yeah, there you go.
The strangest rude, since we're talking about good service, I have to tell you about the rude thing that happened to me today. A very strange rude thing. I was at Harps checking out at the grocery store. And you know how they have those little bars that you can put down to separate your groceries from the groceries of the people before you so that they don't touch? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Well, some lady, I don't know, she was really extreme about that. I started to put my groceries on the belt. And she took the little bar thing, and she separated her groceries and my groceries by about 4 foot. She just kept pushing the bar back, and then she would look at me like she was daring me to move the bar closer to her groceries.
She believes in grocery segregation.
Definitely so. I just kind of stood there and waited until she got completely checked out and out the door before I got my groceries and put them on the little
just
thing.
Go to a different checkout.
I thought about it.
Except in Haskell, there's only ever one checkout.
She kept giving me dirty looks. I tried to put my groceries on, and she kind of growled at me, so I put them back in the buggy again. That's why I don't go to the grocery store on Saturdays in Haskell. The strange people come out on Saturdays.
I think strange people come out in Haskell all the time.
So, Seth, what were you saying?
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say, I found out about, an hour ago that one of my builds has been nominated for a Bricky Award. One of three.
Ooh, yay! That sounds awesome. But one question, what is a Bricky Award?
It's like a best build of the convention type award.
Can I ask which one?
For the Tragically Overlooked Award.
Tragically Overlooked Award.
I was going to say, is there like an equivalent chicken award that we can compare it to?
Best Reserve Bantam Lego with Feather leg Lego.
Well, which one of your creations was nominated?
Oddly enough, was the white radio station that always sits beside the gas station.
I never noticed it before. I guess I overlooked it.
I posted a picture of it on my Facebook page, Hardwick's Brick Replicas.
I'll go check it out.
That's funny, because, yeah, I wouldn't have thought about that one. I actually would have overlooked that one.
I would have.
So
completely.
So the shows like these are judged?
Yes. They have a panel of people that go around and pick things.
So what do you win?
A brick trophy.
Can you tear it up? Can you unassemble it and reassemble it to make it into first place if you win second? Or
probably. No, they don't have second place runners up.
Oh, okay.
That'd be funny though. If you could just take your trophy apart and make it first place.
maybe I'll just use the parts off of it, you know.
Have you ever taken your Dell's donuts to anything?
Well, I take that to all of my ArcLight shows.
Is it at the one that you're at today?
Unfortunately, no. The base for the display that it was in broke, so I just didn't really feel like bringing it.
Well, that's a shame, because that's probably always been my favorite and may always be my favorite. You just can't go wrong with Dell's Donuts made out of Legos. Lego bricks, true. Excuse me.
Except if you're not from Arkansas, I might not have any idea what it is.
If you're not from Saline County, you might not.
No, that's not true. People all over Arkansas come and get donuts at Dell's. Okay, now it's time for a word from this week's sponsor.
Hi, I'm Marty T. Cleaver for Cleaver Tech, and I love to go to my local food mart, but I hate when people get too close to my groceries. That's why I know you and I both can relate to this real average female food mart customer.
I was at Harps checking out at the grocery store, and I started to put my groceries on the belt and separated my groceries by about 4 foot.
If this is you, then you need the Grocery Divider Deluxe, the military-grade checkout line divider by Cleaver Tech. Designed by our team of elite scientists through millions of dollars of research, the Grocery Divider Deluxe is guaranteed to separate groceries on checkout line belts up to 6 feet from your nearest fellow customer. In fact, Grocery Divider Deluxe performs 72% better than average flimsy checkout line dividers, yet is light enough to be carried in any extremely large purse. So do like I did, and stop growling at other customers like a Rottweiler, and protect your groceries with the Grocery Divider Deluxe today!
So, Seth, you got some exciting news to announce?
Yes, I do. So, if you've been following, we've had a contest to give away a Red 7 card game. And you had to like the page, comment on the post, and then share the post. And we are now ready to announce the winner.
All right. Go ahead.
How are you doing this?
I have written down all the names of those entered and have laid them out in front of me. And I am going to ask Mama to pick a number. And it'll be from my left to right, 1 to 5. And whichever one Mama picks, that's the one I will unwrap and reveal the winner.
Wow, we had 5 people enter the contest.
We did.
That's amazing. I'm feeling like number 2 today. Number 2.
Number Number two. Okay, hold on with me just a moment as I unwrap this. I kind of crinkled it up, and it's kind of hard to tell. It is. Why, how about that? Bree Lanthrop.
Well, Bree, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Bree, you are the winner of our Red 7
so
card
game
giveaway.
So we are going to wait until they listen to the podcast to tell them, right? Because if they don't listen to the podcast, then they won't ever know, and we'll know that they cheated, right?
That sounds like a fair way to go.
If I they think don't, so.
If they don't listen and they don't find out they won, can we just keep it?
I think that's the plan.
We could just give it away over and over again until we find out who actually listens to the podcast.
Speaking of contest, though, getting another contest, you remember that CD, Noah, that you wanted me to pre-order for you all that time ago?
Don't tell me you forgot.
You thought it was gonna, I forgot to cancel that order, and it showed up in the mail yesterday.
Are you
that
sure?
That package that I got?
Oh, yeah. It's also sitting on the table.
Yeah.
Oh, so we're going to be giving away a CD in the future, is what you're saying.
We will be.
Wait. Explain this.
Okay. No, you want to explain
it? Yeah, this is a long story, sort of. So there was an album that was supposed to come out last September 2016. And the album got delayed until January. So I initially ordered this album back in probably, I'd say, June of 2016, pre-ordered it. And then once I pre-ordered it, I noticed, wait, Amazon says that they're going to release this album in July. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. When I pre-ordered it, it said September. So I went to Seth, who has Amazon Prime, and said, hey, Seth, would you go pre-order that album on Amazon since it says it's coming out like next week? And he's like, sure. So he pre-ordered it. And then Amazon updated the thing to say it was going to come out in September. And then it didn't ever ship since they updated it, which it wouldn't have been the first time that Amazon accidentally shipped something, because this happened with another band called House of Heroes back in May. So anyway, getting back onto the point of the story, it got delayed again and got pushed back to January this year, and Seth never bothered to cancel the pre-order I had on Amazon, and then I got the pre-order that I had from the band directly, so we ended up with two copies of the CD.
Wow.
So yeah, we'll be having a giveaway again. In the future.
Which band is it?
Yeah.
It's a band called Colony House, and the album is called Only the Lonely.
Okay. Sounds good.
Cool.
Yep, that's the one I got.
Colony House. Tell us a little bit about Colony House.
Really, all you need to know about Colony House is you need to go on YouTube and look up their video called You and I.
Yes.
And if you are a sibling, you will understand this. If you're not, then I don't really can't help you.
It's a great video. How are we going to do this contest?
I don't know. We'll do that on a future
podcast. To be decided.
Okay. So everybody, stay tuned. You have a CD or a chance to win a CD coming soon. So keep listening to a future episode of this podcast, and we'll get that news to you shortly.
And Bree, let us know that you're listening, and we'll get that Red 7 to you right away.
I have a feeling Seth will deliver it personally.
I bet he would.
Perhaps. I might.
Well, we watched something really interesting on TV.
Yes, we did.
I am still shaking.
It was a very disturbing TV show called it was an American experience called Command and Control.
I was thinking it was Control and Command, but it was probably, I don't really remember. I get those things
Command
mixed up.
And Control X, Z. No, yeah, okay. But it was an American experience production about the Titan II missile that was in Damascus, Arkansas. There were actually a lot of different Titan II missiles, apparently, several of them stationed in Arkansas during the Cold War.
Weren't there seven?
I think there were more than that.
I think it said there were like 13 or 14,
yeah.
Wasn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, they had, it's because they had two units of it, and there's like seven per unit.
I read something about that on Wikipedia. I don't remember.
Yeah,
what exactly
I don't,
it said.
I'm not sure. This is a story I've never heard before. which is interesting, but it was a story about the Titan IIs. I knew that I had heard lots of times that there the missiles were in fact stationed over in eastern Arkansas, but I never heard of this story about one of them having a massive would you call it
an explosion.
Explosion.
It was an
yeah.
explosion. Yeah, it was. I was gonna say it was a massive malfunction, and ended up in fact exploding. And it's amazing to think that the warhead on the top, the nuclear bomb on the top, didn't go off, because if it had, I probably never would have been born.
Well, I'm the only one old enough to actually remember this, and as serious of an accident as this was, my memory of it is pretty much nothing, because at the time, it was so played down by the press that we were all reassured, just go back to normal life. Nothing happened here. It was a little explosion. Oh, yeah, one person died, but, you know, that was his own fault. And don't worry about it. Everything's okay. So I went back to life and never thought about it again until I saw that video, which was just released by PBS. I think, was it this week or last week?
Yeah.
It was based on new information that had recently became declassified.
Somebody had written, one of the guys there had written a book about
yeah.
it. Yeah. And it's just an amazing thought that Arkansas in 1980, September 18th?
Something like that.
In September 1980, Arkansas became extremely close to being exploded by a nuclear bomb.
Oh, and it was great when they showed that map of the range of the explosion. Yeah, it would have got us here in Haskell.
It definitely would have had fallout effects here in Haskell. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that was all the way in Damascus. But, I mean, yeah, what a crazy scenario it was. They were doing maintenance on the missile, and they accidentally dropped a bolt, basically a giant bolt.
It was the what do you put on the end of a
ratchet?
Ratchet, yeah.
I don't know. Lug
the
nut?
Socket.
Yeah, the socket is what you'd probably call it. And they dropped it, and it dropped all the way to the bottom, bounced, and
hit the side of the missile.
Yeah, and it started leaking fuel. And because it started leaking fuel, they never said it in the, I don't guess they probably know, but eventually I guess it collapsed, maybe?
That would be my assumption, that's what they were worried about, was that so much of the fuel would leak out that the rocket itself would depressurize.
Right.
The sides were not really strong enough to support the weight of the stages above it, because it was on a lower section of the rocket, and the weight above it would cause it to collapse, ignite the fuel and explode, and possibly set the warhead off. Thankfully, the warhead did not go off. It was blown out of the silo and landed somewhere nearby. It amazed me that they had to go out and look for the warhead, because they didn't know where it went.
Yeah, everybody just kind of got out of there as quickly as they could.
And they found it in a ditch, kind of covered up with mud, and they had to dig it out. One of the best lines of the whole thing is, I don't remember whether it was Bill Clinton or Senator Bumpers. It was someone that said that they would neither deny nor confirm that there was a warhead.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, we're not going to tell you. We don't even know if we know.
I doubt they knew. Honestly, I honestly doubt the Navy had told, or the Air Force, I mean, had told them whether or not there really was a nuclear warhead there or not. Yeah.
And it's my understanding, in watching this, was not the vice president in Hot Springs at the time?
That was my understanding that, yeah, Walter Mondale was in Hot Springs at the time.
You think that he would have been informed and quickly removed from the area, but if he was, they didn't mention that. There's no sign that happened.
Well, apparently Senator Pryor of Arkansas knew.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the vice president was with him, and he apparently knew that. And that was what he was relaying back to Washington, is like, you better go ahead and prepare a speech in case this thing blows up, because we may not be alive in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Crazy. Yeah.
But I'm really, really glad I didn't know any of this was going on at the time. Yeah. There's nothing you can do about it.
This is something to interesting to know as a footnote in history, but it would have been terrifying if it was actually known
it's
at the time.
One of those things would be very interesting to write the alternate history.
Yes, the alternate history of Arkansas, in which a quarter or a third of it is suffered from nuclear bomb and fallout.
One of my favorite people was the farmer guy up there in Damascus or Clinton that was going to take care of his cows one way or another because he had to go. You know who I'm talking about?
Yes.
I love that guy. He's I'm going in there and I'm going to take care of my cows.
I mean, you might as well. Either it's going to blow up and you're going to be dead, or it's not going to blow up. So what difference does it make?
I know. I thought he was very practical. They probably should have sent him in to fix the thing, you know?
Yeah. And that may be one of the most interesting parts is how in the world did that guy survive the explosion?
Yeah, well, actually, both of the men that were in the silo at the time survived the actual explosion. One of them did die later. But I have no idea how they could survive an explosion like that. That was a big fireball. Yeah. We did have pictures of that, which I thought was interesting. I guess it was real.
I think one of them was. Real. I'm not sure all
I
of
think
them were.
The thing you got to keep in mind is what exploded was mostly fuel. So it was the equivalent to like a gasoline explosion.
Right.
Which if we've watched Mythbusters, we know is a very Hollywood's effect type of explosion. It doesn't actually create nearly the kind of pressure waves that an actual explosive device does.
Well, it was still a pressure wave, though, because they talked about being blown backwards.
But my point is like the pressure waves we see on Mythbusters are the ones where if that wave hits you, you're dead.
Right.
Obviously, that wave hit everybody there, and they lived.
They lived,
so it wasn't nearly, while it was a big fireball, it wasn't really an explosion in the same sense that you have a bomb explode.
Yeah, but it showed the chunks of concrete that it moved.
True, yeah, definitely moved some concrete.
So, I mean, if it can move, 20 tons of concrete, that you would think that's enough to kill you, but apparently it just blew them out of the silo.
The force may have also been directed upwards towards the roof because that's the path of least resistance.
Right. And that's true.
And if they were sides, then it may not have really hit them directly.
And you know, we've all been by this place and could see it from Highway 65. They showed a picture of what it looks like today, and it's true. If you didn't know what you were looking at, you would just think it was another little kind of a hill out, as you're climbing up into the Ozarks there.
It's just a little bump in a cow pasture.
Yeah. So it's amazing. It is amazing that with all of the weapons that we have stashed all over the country, that we haven't had, I won't say significant explosions because there have been, but significant huge numbers of death because of our own ammo that's blown up.
I thought it was funny that they broke into this top security place with a crowbar and a lock cutter because they couldn't, after everybody evacuated, they couldn't get back in, so they had to go back and cut through, I think it was like 7 lock doors through blast doors.
Well, they could have gotten back in, and that's what didn't make any sense. They had the escape tunnel that they could have easily gotten back into.
I don't
know
what they didn't explain that. Assume there must have been some reason for that, but
I don't know.
Obviously, I think it was a breakdown in the chain of command.
Right,
but
I think it was.
Yeah.
I think that's really what this documentary was. I think it had two focuses, and one focus was on the inefficiency and unpreparedness of the chain of command in the military, of the people at the top really didn't know what was going on. And by the time that somebody had explained the situation to them, things had already gotten worse and to the point where there really wasn't anything you could do.
Yes.
And then two, there was no preparation to it, that there wasn't a plan if this happens. Like, eventually this was going to happen. I mean, from what I read, these missiles were only supposed to be in existence for about 7 years, and here we were 30 years later, and they're still there. So there should have been something in contingency plan in place. And that was one focus of it. The other focus of the documentary, I think, was just on the danger of having nuclear weapons.
Yeah, the incredible stockpile of nuclear weapons that the U.S. has and has had, that, and the fact that I think he said in the video, he said, you know, it's incredibly lucky that we have him, but eventually our luck is going to run out and we are going to have a massive catastrophe.
We have to remember, you always have to remember, this is PBS.
I was going to say, that was my next question, is what do you think the angle and or bias of this is?
I suspect it's a pretty liberal, anti-nuclear anything bias. But I think they did a good job of presenting the facts of what actually happened there. And I can work around the bias and make my own decisions about what happened there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was interesting that they said in the documentary, the only reason these missiles existed wasn't because they ever really intended to use them. It was so that they could destroy them in a trade with, you know,
with the Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm. So that, and say, hey, we'll destroy ours if you destroy yours, you know.
They were a bargaining tool.
That's exactly
they
right.
They weren't intended to be used because they had actually passed their lifespan of when they were, you know, could be used, I suppose. So I wish that they had just destroyed them.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Is no one else kind of slightly concerned about the fact that we have a nuclear weapon and then it didn't work?
Well, apparently the safety switches on it were still engaged. So apparently, thankfully, the safety switches work, which, I mean, they were interviewing the guys that designed the safety switches, and they were kind of confessing, it's like, we've never actually tested them before, so we don't know for sure they're going to work, but...
We hope they will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's quite a few lessons, I think, that can be learned from this. But in the end, you know, very interesting.
If you have a chance to watch it, catch it, I think it's on PBS. It's going to be replayed several times, but they're streaming it on the AETN website right now. You can catch it that way. It is definitely worth watching just for the Arkansas history aspect of it. And just seeing the old footage and the people that are in it, the politicians, you might spot someone you actually know in it, especially if they were in the Air Force in Jacksonville and up in the Damascus, Clinton area. It's got some locals up there in it.
All right, so I think we're just about out of time. Is there anything anybody'd like to say before we say goodbye?
Be careful with nuclear weapons.
Don't be stupid.
Stay safe. Don't be stupid.
Yes, yes, that's pretty much the summary of all there is. Stay safe and don't be stupid. So, all right, everybody, thanks for listening. This has been fun.
Bye, Seth. Come home safe. I'll see you later.
Bye.
All right, we'll talk to you next time with Seth, hopefully home and ready for the next podcast with the announcement about our next giveaway. So congratulations, Bree. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye.
This episode was edited by yours truly, Caleb Hardwick, and featured music by Bobby Prince. Until next time, thank you for listening.